so those $10 Proust Pets gift cards, or at least one gift card, is still available. Also, you can be in the running for this a pair of Sun Country airplane tickets or airline tickets anywhere in the lower 48. Give us a call, 517-393-3700, 517-393-3700. Okay, needles in turkey sandwiches found on board a Delta Airlines flight. How did they get there, and how do authorities go about figuring that out? To find out, I'm joined by Denny Kelly, an aviation investigator. He's online at kellyjamesandassociates.com. Denny, thanks for joining us on WILS.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me, how do you go about investigating this kind of an incident? Aren't there all kinds of people that move and handle airline food and could have slipped these needles in?
Well, there are quite a few. I mean, it's not just one or two people. There's, you know, What they would do is, I'm sure they will start at the caterer who made the sandwiches, and start interviewing people there. And somebody who's not involved is going to give something up. They're going to have seen somebody acting funny or looking funny, or somebody carrying a package in that they shouldn't have carried, or something like that.
So, when it comes to aviation investigation, is it mostly crash investigations that you're involved in?
Well, we do. We do some crash investigations, but we do all kinds of things. You know, we do operational audits for companies that operate airplanes. In other words, we go in, look at their operation and all the details of it and see what they need to improve or what they need to stop doing. We look at incidents where maybe somebody taxis into a terminal. Or we look, you know, like you said, also at actual crashes where the airplane's, you know, damaged or destroyed, and people are injured or killed.
I see. But, I mean, in general, so you're talking about interviewing pilots and so on. But when it comes to the planes, I mean, they have these black boxes. I mean, when it comes to investigating any serious accident, isn't all the information typically readily available for you there?
No, not really. Of course, the black boxes, the flight and voice recorders, both are very, very important in any accident. And they're getting, you know, through the years, they've gotten a lot better than they used to be. But it depends on the type of crash, and if it's a crash like the Air France accident in the South Atlantic, then they're very important because there's nobody that saw anything or heard anything, so they have to rely almost entirely on the black boxes plus whatever wreckage they recover. But if the accident occurs, say, in the contiguous United States, they may have witnesses that saw what happened. They may have air traffic control. Mm-hmm. They have recordings of what was said by the pilots to air traffic control. They may have witnesses that saw the actual aircraft burning or whatever the problem was. So it depends on the type of crash and where it occurs. But the black boxes are very important, yes.
I'm talking to Denny Kelly, an aviation investigator. He's online at kellyjamesandassociates.com. You know, Denny, I invited you to talk about these needles and turkey sandwiches, but I have to admit, I rarely get to talk to an aviation investigator. You're actually the first one I've chatted with. And I have to ask you about 9/11 and all these theories that that somehow the government, what it tells us happened, isn't exactly what happened. From your experience, from the investigations you've done, when you look at the evidence that's been presented, do you generally believe that everything is as the public believes it is?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think some of these theories are an insult to those people that died, an insult really to our government. For instance, a perfect example is that the airplane that crashed into the Pentagon. I heard numerous interviews with a couple of people that said there just wasn't any wreckage there that you could recognize. Well, that's always the way it is. I mean, that was an airplane about the size of a DC-8, and I had worked a DC-8 crash one time where the biggest pieces after the tires and the engines were about the size of a softball, and they were spread out over a half mile. So some of their theories are absolutely ridiculous. I mean,
let me ask you this, though. When it comes to evidence, obviously, if we talk about the Pentagon crash, one piece of evidence that seems to not be out in the public is any video of the plane actually approaching the Pentagon. What do you make of that?
Well, I make that there just wasn't any video. I mean, there was nobody with a video camera that was pointed in the right direction at the right time. There's very few times that you have an airplane that crashes that there's video of it. I mean, you know, when that U.S. Air Airbus went into the Hudson River in New York. I mean, there was video on one of the buildings that recorded some of it, and there was a few feet of video of the two airplanes hitting the Twin Towers. But there just is not video. I mean, it happens so quick, and the video would have to be pointed in the right place at the right time and turned on. So that's why there's no video.
I guess there were reports that there were gas stations in the area where the FBI came in and confiscated some of their video cameras. But who really knows what the truth of that is?
Well, I'm sure they did. I mean, I'm sure that there were some video cameras that got confiscated, or the video tape got confiscated.
Uh-huh.
But there probably wasn't anything on it or anything worthwhile.
And all this talk about the collapse of the Twin Towers, from what you know about planes and the way what happens when they do crash into buildings, was there any kind of an anomaly in the way the buildings came down after the planes went in?
Not at all. Not at all, because people don't realize the amount of heat and energy generated by the fuel in that airplane that was ignited, those airplanes, plural, that was ignited. I mean, they hit in such a way that the fuel spread out and ignited, and there was so much heat and such high intensity heat that what happened to the buildings was probably could have been predicted if somebody had foreseen that something like this would happen.
Now, one thing that I believe did not happen in any of the planes that went down, there was no black box recovered in any of the crashes, right?
You know, there was a black box recovered from one of the American 76s that crashed. I have a friend that worked the accident, and I worked with him, but there was so much damage that it was not that helpful. Plus the fact that even if they got the perfect data from the black box, you know exactly what happened. I mean, you know, the airplane flew into the tower, and that's what caused the crash.
Well, what about the crash, though, in the field, the plane that was actually brought down when the passengers took over? In terms of the wreckage there, was there anything curious about that? I mean, in that case, it actually hit the ground.
No. Unfortunately, it was just a typical crash. I mean, again, people knew exactly what happened. But it was a typical crash, and there was a
Did you say you were on site at one of those crashes? Or
yeah, I was. I was on site at the Pentagon.
At the Pentagon, okay.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things they say about the Pentagon is that the actual entrance hole in a building doesn't correspond with the size of the plane, the wings, and so on. How is that explained?
Well, you have to remember that when the airplane hits, it comes apart. So the part that actually penetrates the building, it may not be the entire airplane. It just may be part of the fuselage. There was enough damage to that building that it was accounted for by that airplane. There's no question about that.
Gotcha. So you were on site. Were you on site within 24 hours of the crash?
No. No, I was not. I was there 5 days after it happened.
I see, because I guess there was some concern or talk about how quickly that area was cleaned up. So when you got there, was a lot of the damage already swept away? Or?
Well, they were in the process of doing that. And, of course, they wanted to do that because, the Pentagon is a building that controls the military for the United States. I mean, they wanted to get the building back so it could be used, plus the fact that for morale purposes, they wanted to get the wreckage out of there. I mean, there was a lot of very sad events that happened because of that. I mean, there were people, innocent people, killed in all of those crashes.
Sure,
but
sure.
In the Pentagon, you know, there was a lot of people killed in the Pentagon. And there were some people that were killed that were, that were very important people. So
one last question. We just have a couple of minutes, but another point that was made is the way the plane approached the Pentagon. There was apparently a tight turn that was made, and the skill of bringing it down to the wall at that speed, wasn't that a fairly remarkable thing?
No, because they were using the autopilot, and the autopilot, it's basically a computer that sends information to the controls, and you could take that airplane and do a lot of things with the autopilot that you normally would not do because of the comfort of the passengers. But, no, you can make, with the autopilot on, you can make, you know, you can put on the altitude hold, and you can fly it with, you know, with just the turn knob, and fly directionally, and then take the altitude hold off and put it down so that the nose points at the wall. I mean, it, you know, with the autopilot, you can do a lot of things that you probably wouldn't do if you were hand-flying the airplane.
I see.
Of course, they didn't have to worry about overstressing the airplane like a regular pilot does because they knew it was going to crash. So if they overstressed the airplane, it didn't make any difference.
I guess I'm trying to understand. The autopilot, you can actually set a trajectory, and the plane will then direct itself to that point?
Oh, yeah, sure. These new airplanes, the new autopilots on some of these airplanes, you can take the GPS and you can put the coordinates. Say you're taking off from Dallas Fort Worth and you're going to fly to London.
Yeah.
You can put the coordinates in for the. You don't put the coordinates in for the.
But let me ask you that: will an autopilot feature allow for a crash landing of that? A direct landing into the ground at that speed?
Sure, it doesn't make the autopilot does what you tell it to do.
Hmm.
I mean, if you point the airplane to the mountain, and you fly at the mountain, the autopilot's not going to go, wait a minute, we don't want to do this. We want to climb above or go left or right. It won't do that. It'll go where you tell it to go.
Amazing. So no safety feature at all that way. I guess that's surprising in itself, but.
Well, the pilots are the safety feature.
Indeed. Danny, thank you very much for bearing with me. It was just as I was preparing, I thought I want to ask you some questions about this because I suspect you know quite a lot about it. Danny Kelly, an aviation investigator. You can find him online at kellyjamesandassociates.com. Danny, I hope to talk to you again, and thanks for joining us on WYLS.
Enjoyed talking to you. Call me anytime.
Excellent. Sounds good. Well, that is it. We're wrapping things up. Today's show was produced by Jesse Wiza. And for feedback, please send us an email. We'd love to get feedback, especially when it's instructive. If you have any thoughts on the topics we're covering, things we should cover, anything you have in mind, send us an email. ccrecap@gmail.com. is the email address for all the interviews. You can find them all online once the show ends, and that is at 1320wyls.com. We will be back tomorrow, as usual, at 6 p.m. right here on 1320 WYLS. Have a good evening. Good night.